JG 1. Number 18B.
All right, so this is the fun thing about Christian Science is that it actually is so practical. It isn't something that is abstract glory, it's concrete being. And therefore, it's something that we now are beginning to love. So with this law then that we're seeing, everyone in the universe, including man, including ourselves, are programmed for success through this law of divine impulsion. So if we go through that particular law now as we see it on page, I guess we said it was page 80, did we?
83.
In the study aid, we can see, therefore, that it's saying, all right, as a one life. It has its accentuation on the one life itself. That's that cord, and the cord is on life, and because it's that one life, you see, it's coming out of the one life on Divine Science, and that one life now is the creative impulsion we see that is bringing us forth, that is right and complete. So do you hear how truth and love just supports the one life? And that one life which is coming forth is the divine urge and drive which is bringing forth its true form, which is perfect. Or it's that in the days of creation that says, out of the creative impulsion of life, let there be, let it happen. Don't force it, accept it, let it happen. Give it to yourself. Life says, I give this to you, so let it happen. It's a gift of grace. And truth says, and you claim that gift of grace as factual. And love says, and you accept it as the fulfillment in our life. So here is where we said that within being itself is that inner acceleration, that inner logicity, and the inner logic, that law of the science that governs all sciences. And that one life is bringing forth out of divine origin spontaneously for us. See, that spontaneous means suddenly out of divine origin we're coming. Always new. See, that's life. Always new. Because life is pulling out of that infinite matrix of infinity, which is constantly restructuring itself. So that which is coming forth is another kink in the curve.
So would you use that same logic and keep that going for like all the world destruction that we see where they're tearing down the rainforest or fishing areas are destroyed or lakes are dead and things like that?
Yes.
Can you use that to counteract that?
Sure. Sandy's asking with what we see in the world today. Yes, yeah, sure. All that looks like the destruction of the ecological balance of which we're all so concerned with, that the end of that is the ideal solution. The end of nature isn't destruction, it's nature is seen from the standpoint of spirit. Let it go through its evolution, because the God will always appoint the right one to lead it forward, if mankind is willing to go forward, you see. We come to that standpoint of bifurcation in the world. And Mrs. Eddy wasn't sure, nor were the people in the St. John's vision, whoever St. John was. They aren't sure who St. John was, actually, but there are many speculations, as Max has shown. But they all saw the vision of the holy city, the New Jerusalem. And it was an angel that brought the seven vials full of the seven last plagues. Meaning that the end vision was a lamb wedded to love. So the vision finally is divine science. Everything arrives at divine science. It's just that the world they knew would come at this point, at this time, to a bifurcation point, a critical point. And it was whether we would choose To go down the road of ignorance, and ignorance means we ignore it or we just are dumb about it, of suffering, which would take us down the path of Armageddon, or whether we would go through science in peace. The Michael would have to come on with the battle if we went down the road of Armageddon, the truth fighting error, huh? Truth banging error on the head through its phase transition of translation and retranslation, bringing the misuse of the ecological system out of a misuse into a higher sense of use, huh? Or whether it would be the Gabriel sense that we'd take the way of intelligence and allow the true form of this holistic, non-linear, self-organizing system to happen. All we want to do is get out of the way and let nature organize itself, don't we? And that's what we're trying to do, not interfere by chopping down the trees and everything. We just want to let this get out of the way and stop interfering in this balance. Well, that's possible. Which way we choose is up to mankind. That's where our responsibility. Do we go down this path or this path? We still arrive at the ultimate point of divine science, which is perfection for everything, for nature, because the real science of nature is a science of spirit. It will bring out the ideal sense of nature. And so therefore, what we can see is that the world goes through this translation and retranslation, and therefore the Earth is going through a phase transition anyhow from a physical explanation of nature. I mean, we turn on television and we're not always so happy with all that goes on in nature. I mean, that gets kind of gross sometimes. So nature is living under that belief of animal instincts and the survival of the fittest, and it's one animal killing another animal. That's not so hot. It has to also go through its phase transition, you see. So we can't judge that either. We can't necessarily say this is bad for nature, that it struggles. Because we don't know what the ideal species is. As we'll see when we get to this point of the new man, they say today that between the chimpanzee and man are we, at the point of the human. So therefore, do we say that what's in nature today is the ideal form of species? When they're under this law of survival or the survival of the jungle, that has to go through a phase transition. You know, symbolically speaking, the lion sits down with the lamb and all this business. We don't know what form nature is going to take, nor do we really know what ideal form man takes. But it will take that ideal form, and it has to also go through its phase transition. So a lot of what is going on is just the Christ at work in nature, taking it into a higher form of nature as defining the spirit. And when it does it, it changes form. So there's a lot of interference on our part going on with nature too. Trying to preserve that which maybe should, through the pessimistic arrow of time, go out of the way and let the optimistic arrow take its place. So we have to be careful not to interfere with the Christ translation. Do we know, what I'm saying, do we know what's right for nature as much as we know what's right for the kids, you see, or for ourselves? Well, we only can pray that this law is working for the universe, including man, including the earth, including everything, and it works. It's in our prayers that we behold in science the perfect man, and that has a collective impact, and it has a universal impact. And then it will bring out the right form of nature, and we haven't tried to preserve something that should have, that the Christ is trying to change. See? So all we want to do is, at the bifurcation point, not choose the point of suffering. That means to intelligently go ahead and, with the universe, including man, including nature in our lives, take the higher road, so to speak, which is the ecological road, and to the highest sense. Like Mrs. Eddy says, like in the marriage chapter, Jesus' concessions were to the human were for the highest advancement. We can only do that in the human, which we know is the highest. And we feel now it's ecological preservation, things like that. Okay, well then, sure, we want that kind of leaders, those kind of politicians, to lead us what we would feel may be the higher path than the ones that go and chop it all up. That's all we know today. So we're going to, the people will try to vote for the higher that they see than what is what they consider the lower. That's all one can do, have take that intelligent approach to life. Huh? It's at the highest point we know today. But ultimately in our prayers, we know the end that Christ is going to do it through this law of life, truth, and love. Because you see, this law of life, truth, and love says that life is impelling new breakthroughs. Always it's life that's making the breakthrough into the world, bringing out new forms. That's what it's wanting to do, which are purposeful. And therefore, it is handling the belief, will the universe make it? Will the Earth stay in its orbit? Are we going to blow it up, you know, so with nuclear weapons that it's going to knock it out of its orbit and go spinning off into space because it's on such a just a unique ecological balance? What do they say about the universe? It's expanding and contracting. What is it? It's such an ecological balance between expansion and contraction that it's something like, what is it, a pencil sitting on a point of a knife throughout eternity. A point, you know.
It collapses.
It's something like this. Let's say you had a pencil that you sharpened up the point, and you put it on the edge of a knife or razor blade, and it's balancing just on there throughout eternity. That's how balanced everything is in ecology, and that's why they see everything has to be balanced, because with the butterfly effect, they can say even a little butterfly can flap its wings and send the weather patterns into chaos. And that's that whole sense then of the holographic universe. If you touch a part, you touch the whole. So that whole sense of will the universe make it? Well, it will, because the Christ is making the breakthroughs. Will it be right? It will, because truth is making it a fact. Will everything miss its life purpose? No. And if we pray about that and know it, that has an impact. Okay. It's a wonderful law, isn't it? Just terrific. It has such practicality. It's the law of success mechanism that was seen in the Bible, where it says in Job 23:14, "For he performeth the thing that is appointed for me." For he performeth, not me. For God performeth the thing that is appointed for me. Or in Psalm 138:8, "The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me." The Lord will do it. And then in the Bible, it says, "He which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure," showing man is programmed for success. And then in Clectania, in Watches, it's in there, "All that is within me is the spirit of victory." I guess that must be attributed to Mrs. Eddy. So this is that law of the success mechanism. Oh, doesn't it make you feel happy? This is joy. This is what's behind one's life. That's why I think when Max Kapler presented these classes to us back in 1970, 71, 72, 73, 20 years ago, why it was the first thing that I think I really got in a big teachings from him. We all did. He, of course, came regularly to the United States around 67. He was here in 62 presenting the epistles. He was here in the late 40s in New York. But when he came regularly in 67, he gave just talks around. And then 68 was at Asilomar at a conference. 69 did his big work in Brownwald. And during that late 60s was getting out his book on the four levels of spiritual consciousness, of science, divine science, absolute Christian science, and Christian science. Once that book came out in our summer school of 1970, it just was revolutionary those class. He has that talk from London. It is called, I think, The Science of Being as I See It Today. It's still revolutionary today, based on these concepts. And then the work we did in the summer schools at that time, of which I have adapted these study questions from for this class, it just was so big. But what we see then is that this impact, you know, it comes early, and yet it takes time to develop, doesn't it? But I remember sitting in those classes on this model of being in 1970, and to others I have said it was like eating the best quote-unquote meal I've ever had. It never left me. I have never had a meal that substantial. Having learned these laws of the model of being, I know as personal life experience is the only way when one goes through deep water, which we all have to because of the Christ, I could just go forward. Even the many hours we throw ourselves down on the floor and cry and cry and cry and cry, just saying, I want to go forward, you know, make my consciousness and God's one, what's wrong, everything's going to hell and high water in one's life, especially when one's doing a career. At the time I was working in an art career and having to produce the art and show the art and show it all around the country and then teach the art school and then try to study science and wanting to study science. It wasn't 7 years later that I could stop the artwork and come into science. That was struggles because one had to make a living in a career, and I'm happy for it because it polishes you in the world, and I'm happy for all that. But, you know, we all go through those struggles of crying crocodile tears and not knowing what's happening in one's life. It was these laws that enabled me to go forward and all the others in the class in 1970, I'm sure, that are still with us today to go forward. Do you begin to feel the substance? It was only, I'm telling you, only because of this model of being. No other subject has touched like this. And this just is incredible. I guess it was because now we see it's the highest. And even at that time, 1970, I remember we're all saying, okay, we can throw the Bible out the window. We can throw the textbook out the window. This is it. Let's go forward. 20 years ago, no, we weren't ready for it. We all had to go back to the Bible again, start again, which was wonderful. With Genesis, getting what the tone of mind is, the first 1,000-year period as it handles, you know, the opposite of mortal mind, ignorance. And then going on to the Noah story of spirit, huh? And I can remember crying through the Noah story. Cry, cry, cry. I can't be a Noah. No way I can be a Noah. This is too hard. All this business. Cried through the whole book of the Noah story, huh? Never can make this business. How can you separate what is real from what is unreal? How can you stick to it and stay on it? It's too hard, blah, blah, blah. Going through that whole second 1,000-year period, then coming into soul, all the demands that are made through Joshua and Judges to go forward. Can't do that either. Too hard, huh? And then coming into the 4,000-year period, finally kind of beginning to see with Samuel. I think it was finally at the 1st and 2nd Samuel when I read Dorley's 1st and 2nd Samuel, began to say, oh yeah, that's right. David said, the Lord will avenge me of me. It's the Lord's problem, not mine. Finally realizing, oh, this is principle's problem, you see. Making everything that was personal, impersonal. Letting that principle begin to happen. Then those laws of the Christ. That's a big thing in there, isn't it? The laws of the Christ and its translation and retranslation through the Christ matrix. then into the Christianity tones of the epistle matrix. Oh yeah, all I have to do is respond. Then the Gospel of John we lived through. And then living through every single chapter of the textbook as Max has given it in his structure to finally be at the 16th chapter and say, well, yeah, maybe now we can take the essence of the Bible and the textbook as our model of consciousness in the model of being and go on. Took 20 years, almost 25 years, to see the vision we saw with the model of being as the essence of the Bible and textbook and be able to now to take that and go on and interpret the world. And so much of all that we're teaching now, Max talked about it in the 70s. You'll see it. All this new stuff, this is all in his notes. What we're going to take this afternoon as how this law of interdependence impels itself on the world. It was all done then. But we had to go through the Bible and the textbook to come now. Do you see? Though the goal is to go forward. But I feel we're at a time we can go forward now and not have to look back like we had to then. Because we didn't know those books, and may have made it our own. Okay, so now we go on, and we come to that level of Christian Science.
What page?
Page 63 in the study aid. That's the model being, yes. Now we then see the Christian Science level and at the point of the word vertical, and we know now that the word at Christian Science is such that Christian Science now is the term as it relates especially to humanity. So we can see then that cybernetic process that is going on in being, where in the model of being on page 69 in the study aid, we see then that this is all a self-operating divine cybernetic model. Again, as we say that this Max Kappler showed us already in 1969 in Braunwald, Switzerland, in his class there, of which we're now be able to really understand through life experience, how this divine cybernetic model is just showing us then how the infinite one being, the one principle, is on a self-organizing system. It works non-linear. It's the model of the non-linearity that they're looking for in the world today. And therefore, a process which, first of all, on the level of divine science, is showing us that it runs on those laws of self-organization, where being is always operating out of itself, through itself, as itself, for the glory of itself, through input, process, output, feedback, that law of self-organization. If being comes and finds a form like itself, with a universal consciousness of divine science, it just feeds right back again, the self-similarity was found. If it comes on down to the level of absolute Christian science, where we're dealing in a consciousness of the calculus of ideas and pure values in our consciousness, and finds everything self-similar within the consciousness, it goes on and just passes right on through and spirals the consciousness higher and higher from a boundless basis. But if it has found that there is somewhere something that is opaque, that isn't transparent to its self-similarity, something that has believed a lie, that has looked at the old woman and not young girls, so to speak, that has believed in that we're born in matter, live in matter, grow old in matter, die out of matter, that man is a material proposition, and rather being life in of spirit here and now, then it will come through its feedback system and say, I'm going to correct that belief of old age, and have us see then that that belief, for example, of age is just a disease that must be overcome. When Mrs. Eddy says that we must teach mankind that all must not die, we could reproduce those who have gone on saying, all right, we come down, it's going to feed through the feedback of Christian Science, get rid of that negative belief within consciousness. That's that level of Christian Science, how it applies to humanity, how it is the disproof of counter arguments go on this level, showing, no, that mankind doesn't have to die or be subject to old age if one keeps focused on the spiritual. It doesn't mean that the mortal concept does pass away, but it passes away within our consciousness. Doesn't mean we have to die. It means we're willing to give up a physical, mortal concept of life and go forward, doesn't it? So, therefore, this level, through its negative feedback, handles through the law of opposites a situation. For example, Mrs. Eddy said on this level, by the law of opposites, after the truth of man had been demonstrated, absolute Christian Science, the postulate of error must appear if there's any error there. It's not saying in some situation maybe there isn't. Maybe we're totally transparent. So maybe there isn't any erroneous consciousness it finds within us. Maybe we're calculating positively with positive pure values. If that is so, fine, then we just it just passes right through us. We're the transparent window. But if there is something in there, then the Christ must go at work on Christian Science and take us through the phase transition. We can't help it. It has to analyze, it has to uncover, and it has to annihilate the error. That's why when Jesus said, this is my beloved Son, when God said, this is my beloved Son, that the devil tempted Jesus. See, the statement was made this from the standpoint of absolute Christian Science. This is my beloved Son. And then Jesus was tempted by the devil to make sure there was nothing that went against that self-similar statement, that what that statement and Jesus were one. And it was. He passed the test, didn't he? But he was tested. And the self-similarity was found. And so so God's light being passed through him and found the hologram pure and went right on. But the problem with us is when it says to us, this is thy beloved Son, it's saying to us all the time, does the light being come to us and can it always go through us? No, it's usually opaque. So it has to go through the phase transition. It's so practical. Or Jesus would say, I am the light of the world, from absolute Christian Science. And just as he said that and walked out the door, there was a man blind. See, he was presented with the opposite. And of course, he healed that man of blindness. Or he said, I am the resurrection and the life. And right after that in the Bible, he came back and Lazarus appeared to have died. Huh? And so he had to bring Lazarus forth into that standpoint of absolute Christian Science, which is neither behind the point of perfection nor advancing to it, but knows no death, and brought Lazarus right forth. So therefore we see on this level that truth is omnipotent in the realm of truth and in the realm of error. It therefore shows that it handles what is called visible error and audible sin. Very practical. Now, these synonymous terms of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love will show us how that happens from the standpoint of the word.